She may back her time, Canto 10, Chapter 16. Krishna chastises the serpent Kalila. Text 6. I think, is it?
Regret it.
Oh dear. Chain number. Quits. Okay.
Very short.
According to the Acharyas, Lord Krishna also tied back the locks of his hair as he prepared to do battle with Kaliya. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravantani Nirvishesha Shunyavani Pastitya Deshitani Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasani Gauravanta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Hare
very, you could say, superhuman, supernatural, and the
devotees see it and they realize that, oh, Krishna is God. Or at least he's some very high person. And they remember what Garga Muni said at the name-giving ceremony, which of course everyone's heard about. And they start thinking in these terms. Like when Mother Yashoda saw the universe in Krishna's mouth when she was looking for dirt, that particular pastime. And she saw the universe and it was very, dramatic, shall we say, a very striking experience. That what is this? My little boy, Krishna, what is going on? Maybe certain things which other people have said at different times, maybe they were right. And Krishna really is not just my son, and he's not just one of the boys, he's not just one of the village residents. He is some extremely unusual, extraordinary, superhuman person. So she thought like that, looking into Krishna's mouth, then she started looking over Krishna's face again, and particularly she saw his very sweet eyes, which were smiling in a very happy and just a very affectionate way. And when she saw his eyes, then that feeling of astonishment and awe and reverence even for Krishna, it started to dissipate, and again that mood of motherly love started increasing, and it was happening step by step, though it wasn't just from one to the other mood. And she went through a phase as she was gradually forgetting the idea that maybe Krishna's God or some, maybe a demigod or something like that. As she was in the middle of returning into her very intimate motherly mood, as those two moods are sort of intertwining a bit and crossing over each other, then Mother Yashoda thought, well, could he really be God? I don't know. But I don't really think so. But then she thought, well, if he is God, I am a very lucky woman. I have a son who is God. Gosh, that's wonderful. That's great. Which other mother has a son who's God? But then it all sort of faded away as her mood of motherly love returned. So that happened here. We were just saying about how the cowherd boys and cows were poisoned, but then they were revived just by Krishna's glances. He was moving around, glancing on them. And they all understood that they had died. And then they all understood that Krishna had revived them. So they entered into some sort of mood like that to some degree. That how did he revive us? How could he do that? He must be God. But Krishna was glancing at them in very loving, warm ways. So again, they also started to forget this idea that maybe he's got some supernatural, superhuman powers. So, yes, so then angry because of this offense to his devotees. It's a terrible offense, trying to kill a devotee. Sure, you can't get much more offensive than that. Yeah, you know, in the fourth canto, when Lord Shiva is offended by Daksha, and Sati comes, visits the house of Daksha, Daksha's going to have a big sacrifice, then Sati gives up her life, and but just before she does that, she says, that Daksha, you are so offensive. And when someone, and in his case, he had a mentally offensive attitude, and he had spoken offensively. He had not physically attacked Lord Shiva or something like that. But so he was thinking and speaking offensively. And Sati says that if someone speaks blasphemy, particularly of some elevated personality, then the best thing to do, the most appropriate thing, is just kill them. There you go. Just kill them. If you can't kill them, cut out their tongue. And that should sort of, you know, incapacitate them a bit. Then you can kill them. And if you can't do that, just kill yourself. And if you can't bring yourself to do that, just go. So to try to kill and in a sense actually kill rich persons, the greatest devotees of the Lord, including the cows, you can't get much more offensive than that. So Krishna became extremely disturbed. Shri Shri Radha Madhava Shishi Kornitai Shri Shri Sita Ramachra Madhava. Krishna became extremely disturbed because of the offense against the cowherd boys and cows. He also became extremely disturbed because Kaliya had contaminated the Yamuna so badly. As I think Ravi Ramaprabhu was saying yesterday, or maybe it was the day before, it was said that the Yamuna was flowing through on one side, and there was this lake called, sort of sticking out. It's not disconnected from the Yamuna, but it's not really mixing so much with the main flow of the river, but it's sticking out kind of what would it be to the east. If you're familiar with that that part of Vrindavan, then you can see actually, if you go out on the top by the what's it called? Dwadashaditya Til, by Madhavana, the old Madhavana temple, then you can see how there was a lake. The river was running right down next to where that temple is now, where the parikrama path is now. But the lake was sticking right out for some kilometers over to Bayolvan, slightly to the right as you look out, and then further back, and then even out practically as far as Pandiravan, that whole area, it's a big area. And that area had become so contaminated, even though it's not exactly part of the flowing Yamuna, but it's Yamuna water. So it is part of the Yamuna, Kaliyadaha. And Kaliya had contaminated it so badly with his poison that the lake, at least, was boiling. Poison, poison is, a product or manifestation of fire. Poison means fire. Poison stimulates fire. Just like when Maharaj Parikshit, right at the end of the Bhagavatam, when the snake bird comes and bites him, the poison of that snake bird was so powerful that his body burst into flames. Because poison, in general, poison means the element fire, and it kills by stimulating the element fire too strongly in different ways. So that lake was boiling, and therefore when birds would fly over the top, the fumes were coming up and they just died and just fall down into the river. And the trees around, not just trees, but all the vegetation around that whole lake, and even on the other side where the river is next to nowadays Vrindavan town, all the vegetation was dead, except this one tree mentioned here, the Kadamba tree. And it's interesting, I imagine many of you have been there, maybe all of you, and you've seen that Kadamba tree there at Kaliya Ghat. It's obviously a very old tree. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a description of Lord Chaitanya visiting there. And it says that when Lord Chaitanya visited Kaliya Ghat, he saw the original tree. It specifically says that, as I recall. He saw the actual original tree which the Lord had jumped from, being referred to here in this verse. And they say, those people who say many things, they say that the existing tree is the same tree. Anyway, we don't know exactly, of course, but at least at that time, of Lord Chaitanya, it appears it was the original tree. So here's Lord Krishna there. He's very angry. He's very angry indeed, because his devotees have been offended, and the Yamuna River has been offended. And of course, the Yamuna is a devotee also. So he's really feeling angry. And as described here, he climbs, the verse says he climbs to the top of the Kadamba tree. Elsewhere it says he climbs out on one big branch. And then, as described, he tightened his belt, as wrestlers do, when they're preparing for battle. Then he slapped his arms. And Srila Siddhanta Goswami makes the point, funny little point, that he slapped his arms and made a funny sound. Do you get me? Yeah, sometimes young boys, they do things like that. And Krishna was a young boy. So, I don't know if anyone can demonstrate, but anyway, it's okay. So yeah, Krishna did like that, made this funny noise, tightened his belt like, we're going to really get tough with this Kaliya here. And Krishna jumped in, into the poisonous water. That's where we're at in terms of the Bhagavatam, the chronology of the Bhagavatam. Next verse, anyway, I don't want to sort of spoil things, but at least in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the description is, or maybe in the commentaries, Sanatana Goswami particularly gives very amazing commentaries to this part of the Bhagavatam. And he says that when Krishna jumped in, a tsunami was created. You know what I mean by tsunami? Anyway, let's just say a big wave, like a really, really big wave. And the question arises, if Krishna is just a small boy, he's just a small boy, 6 or 7, maybe 7 years old or something like that, or 6 even, and this little boy has jumped into the river, how could that produce a tsunami or some really quite massive wave? And the answer to that question is, because Krishna, of course, is not just a little boy. Krishna is everything. He is the summum bonum of all of existence. And you can imagine if everything landed in the water, that would really make a splash, wouldn't it? So, and then Sanat Goswami says that this big wave, it went sort of powering out into the lake, and Kaliya, who was out there, further out in the lake, Kaliya got hit by this wave, and it just about, in surfing terms, just about wiped him out completely. You're probably not from surfing backgrounds, I think. Anyway, don't worry, it's okay. You didn't miss that much. So yeah, it hit him in the face and sure, just about obliterated Kaliya. And then Kaliya pulled himself together, and Kaliya asked himself, who is the rascal who has jumped into my lake? You know, I think it was discussed yesterday a bit how Kaliya represents envy. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has discussed how the different demons, 20 or 21 or so, who are described in the Vrindavan pastimes, at least as they are described in the 10th canto, they all represent different anathas. And Kaliya and Agasura, of course, they're both snakes. And there are similarities between the anathas that each one represents. And envy is certainly a very significant factor in the anatha or anathas that each one represents. However, Kaliya particularly represents envy in the sense of talking badly about other devotees, and in this way, poisoning the hearts, poisoning whoever they're talking to, yeah. Whoever happens to hear that poisonous talk, because after all, he poisoned the cowboys and the cows. Yeah. So that's an interesting little point. So Kaliya's out there in the lake, gets hit by this big wave, gets really disturbed. And in that mood of envy, thinks, who is the rascal who's jumped into my lake? My lake, which belongs to me, and nobody else has the right to jump into it because it's mine. And if anyone does jump into my lake, then necessarily necessarily they must be punished. And the only really appropriate punishment would be death. Yeah, that's pretty serious envy, isn't it? Just like Maharaj Amrish in the 9th canto, 4th chapter. Devasamuni arrived at Maharaj Amrish's palace, and Maharaj Amrish was just about to conclude a very important Ekadasi fast for benefiting the citizens. And in order to really maximize the benefit, he had to conclude it at some like particular critical point in time. Otherwise, the effect wouldn't be so great. But then along came Devasamuni, and as a guest, you know the what it says, what Shastra says, Atiti Bhava Deva. Is that right? Deva Bhava. But actually in Sanskrit you could put it around. So the Atiti, Titi meaning, you know, a fixed time. Titi, some particular important time, and Atiti, meaning just, you know, any time. The uninvited guest who just appears on your doorstep should be accepted by God. And so so he had to receive him, and he did, and offered him, would you like to eat? And Devasamuni said, yes, but I need to take a bath. I'll be back shortly. But then that time for the concluding the fast would have finished. So Maharaj Amrish, on the suggestion of his Brahmin advisors, he drank some water. And Devasamuni then came back and, through his mystical powers, understood that Maharaj Amrish had drunk some water, broken his fast, even though it's not at all like eating, but technically he had taken something. And Devasamuni, you know, he shares a nature something like Kaliya to some degree at least. Yeah. He's extremely sensitive, sort of hypersensitive, and if you look at him in the wrong way, then he'll ask you, why are you looking at me? What's wrong? And he curses. So he cursed, you could say, cursed Maharaj Amrish, took a hair from his head, threw it on the ground, and out came some mystical demon to kill Maharaj Amrish. So he felt, because he drank water before I ate, then the only suitable thing to to punish him for his offense of drinking water before I ate is death. Gosh. Imagine if Maharaj Amrish had stolen his samosa while he was eating. Wow, what would have happened? I can't imagine. It would have really been extreme. Anyway, it's just an interesting little point that of these 20 or so, little more than 20, demons, of course some of them are not exactly demons, but we sort of use the term. Of those 20 or maybe 21, about, actually we should count exactly, but it's at least about half of them became demons because Devasamuni cursed them. In other words, when you see Devasamuni coming, maybe better to get the other way. He's sort of like, you could say, a serial cursor. So Kaliya, his mood is like that. And similarly, like Devakasura, when Lord Balaram was shaking that tall palm tree and shaking the whole planet, then Devasura was sleeping somewhere nearby in the forest, and he got shook too. Yeah. And he wondered, he woke up, and he wondered, who is the rascal creating this disturbance in my forest? It's the same mood. And same mood that Devasura, apparently he was not vegetarian, non-veg. No, I understood that India is going, has gone downhill. When a few years ago I was on a plane in India, it was a Kingfisher airline plane, I think they're deceased now. And one of these young girls, the stewardesses came up, they're serving meals. This young girl with a red mini skirt on, Bharatiya. And she asked me, she looked at me, I was dressed like this, she just looked straight at me and said, veg or non-veg?
Jeez.
Anyway, what can you say? That's India has deteriorated. So yeah, Devasura was non-veg. So he didn't eat the fruits. He didn't eat the fruits. But he didn't let anyone else come to eat the fruits. Even if birds flew in to eat the fruits, he killed them. You know, so he's also doing this. He represents more like the whole of Tamagun, and envy is like a subset, a part of Tamagun. So anyway, here we have Kanya, and he came over feeling so disturbed that who's the rascal disturbing my lake? And he grabbed Krishna. He grabbed Krishna and held him in his coils. As Revati Ramaprabhu mentioned yesterday, if I remember correctly, different of our acharyas give different sort of analyses of Kaliya's mood when he was embracing Krishna. Sanatana Goswami says it was in a mood of love. But at least of the commentaries I've read, he's the only one who says that. Everybody else takes it to be, you know, extremely negative and aggressive, and as does Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. But of course, previously he had been a devotee. That was talked about yesterday, we won't go into it today. Previously he was a devotee, and his wives were devotees. So, you know, maybe in the back of his mind there was some lingering sort of, some vestiges of Krishna consciousness still there. So at least you listen up because I think there's that analysis. And he held Krishna for some hours. You know, sometimes when great devotees embrace, they don't just have a little hug, just, oh, I'm very well, nice to see you. They embrace for hours. I think it was Lord Nityananda and Madhavendra Puri embraced for 6 hours. Something like that. This is, you know, serious embracing. Yeah, so anyway, then Kaliya held Krishna for hours, And at least according to Srila Siddhanta Goswami, one elderly devotee just happened upon the scene there. He wasn't part of the team with the cowherd boys, just an elderly devotee who just happened along. And so he went running back and alerted the village, and they all came running out. They all came running out, and all except Balaram, because Balaram, at least according to Shmuel Sanadu, so I know, sort of mentioned someone yesterday, according to Sanadu, so I mean, he was having a birthday party with his mother. Although he came out a little later. So everyone ran out when they heard that Krishna's in danger. According to Srila Sanatana Goswami, out there, back there by the lake, by the Yamuna, everyone had fainted. The trees had fainted, the rocks had fainted. It was just a very dramatic scene, an extremely dramatic scene. And then all the bridge buses came running out. And Srila Siddhartha Goswami raises the point, how did they know where to go exactly? Because, you know, you've got the whole Yamuna River, it's not a small thing. But they went right to the spot, and that old man didn't take them because he was too old to run the way they ran. So how did they know to go to that spot? And so that concern says, because they followed Krishna's footprints. And then the next question is, how could they follow Krishna's footprints? Because he was in the front of the cows. And the cows are following him. And surely they just walk over his footprints. But no, the cows are devotees. And they would never skip over Krishna's footprints. So therefore, Krishna's footprints were always preserved. Yeah. And then they came out, and anyway, we let someone else explain what happened then, but it's really very amazing. Very amazing pastime. And Lord Balaram is the only one who understands what's going on. And this is a pastime, and there's nothing to panic about. And even Lord Balaram thinks to himself, listen, he's thinking to himself, sort of addressing Krishna in his mind. And he says, listen, brother, you want to play with a snake? You want to play with a snake? Why don't you play with me in my former Sanatashesh? Why play with this mundane Kaliya? He's not much of a snake. What a real snake. Well, play with me. And that's a change. And the Lord Balaram comes out and is trying to pacify everyone. But at the same time, he doesn't want to interfere with their mood. Because he feels they are greater devotees than me. And it would be wrong for me to interfere with their loving feelings. But still they're suffering so much. And it's unnecessary because there's no problem really. So subtly, Lord Balaram was trying to hint that is okay. You don't need to panic too much. He was walking up and down the bank, sometimes telling the bridge buses, just stay here and wait, because they're trying to swim out to join Krishna. But he tells them, just stay here and wait, don't worry too much. And Srila Siddhartha Goswami says, with some of them, he would smile at them. And the bridge buses would wonder, why is Balaram smiling? What's so amusing about this situation? Anyway, it's a long story. But yes, the bridge verses, they dive deep into a bottomless ocean of separation, thinking that this is our Krishna. This is our Krishna, our little village boy whom we just love so much. And it looks like this could be the end. What do they say? Looks like Krishna may die. And so their mood of anxiety, love, and separation just totally overflowed its banks. Until Lord Balaram could tolerate it no longer. And he called out to Krishna, "You stop this pastime. You stop this pastime." Because even though these are the rich buses, they have eternal spiritual bodies, as far as I can see, they're actually going to die. So you stop this pastime. Otherwise, your own heart will be broken. So yes, this is a very amazing pastime of Krishna. Very amazing pastime. In which these very extreme emotions in separation are manifested by these great, great devotees. Although Krishna, of course, saves the day in due course. But Krishna does like that. Sometimes he shows his superhuman nature as the Supreme Lord. Sometimes, not too much, but sometimes. And the explanation given by Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is that it's just like when people boil milk. When people boil milk, sometimes they put straw in, dry grass, very dry grass. And you see that the straw is coming up and going down and coming up and going down as the milk is moving, as it's boiling. So to avoid it boiling over and spoiling, they put grass in. So therefore Krishna, when things get very dramatic, sometimes he shows, "Actually, I'm God, don't worry, you can relax a bit." Just to stop the emotions from becoming too much. And it's like that straw. Sometimes it comes to the surface, "Oh, there it is." And then it goes down again. And then it comes up, "Oh, there it is again." But otherwise, the essence of Vrindavan Leela is that the intimacy of the loving pastimes. There's a nice little story, I don't know if you've heard of it. One time, Upananda, one of Nanda Maharaj's older brothers, called a meeting at Mandagram at a place called Nanda Baitak, which is just in front of the hill. Yeah, just with Nanda Maharaj's sitting place. So he called the meeting, and all the bridge buses came, and he said, "You know, I have just had very important realization that Krishna, our Krishna, is not just an ordinary little boy. You know what Gaudiya said? Maybe he is a demigod. Maybe he is a great saintly person. Maybe he is the supreme pure. Maybe he is the supreme truth. Maybe he is God." And Upananda said, "You know, I've had some realization about this, and I can say, as far as I can see, it's true. It's true." So he told Nanda Maharaj, "Nanda Maharaj, you stop chastising Krishna. You must stop, because he's a great person. and butt on his shoulder. You stop waving your stick at him and trying to tie him up. You must stop, because he's a great person. He's the supreme pure. And Nandamara said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Listen, brother. You're saying my son is the supreme truth? The supreme truth. What a joke. This boy is a liar and a criminal. And we catch him red-handed. He stole the butter, we catch him. And he denies it. No, it was someone else. They gave it to me. But we saw him steal it. He steals the gopi's clothes. We catch him. And he says, no, it wasn't me. So he's not the supreme truth. He's a liar and a thief. So stop this nonsense. And you say, he is the supreme powerful. Listen, whenever there's a storm at night, he comes running into my room. Papa, Peter, I'm frightened. And he climbs into bed with me. So he's not the supreme power. And you say he's the supreme pure. Come on, please. My wife dresses him up very nicely and decorates him, and he goes outside, and before you know it, he's rolling in the dirt. And he comes back in a few minutes later, he's filthy. So he's not the supreme pure. He's just my son. And if he does any nonsense, I will correct him. So this sort of mood is there in Vrindavan. This is the basic theme, the basic underlying mood, practically all the time, except for sometimes when Krishna feels the emotions are getting out of hand, then maybe he shows that actually I am the Supreme Lord, so you can relax. And they understand that momentarily, and they're pacified, but then after a while they forget again. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.
No questions?
Okay.
My question is, you mentioned that all the acharyas describe Kaliya's mood as very dark, envious, whatever. And Sanatana Goswami says, well, it was a previous life was a devotee, it's actually a lot of love. Now, my Occidental mind thinks, well, one's right, one's wrong. So how do we balance these different opinions of the acharyas?
Yes. Well,
who's right, who's wrong?
Okay. Well, fortunately, they're all right.
Thank you, Maharaj.
That's enough answer.
No, I want to hear how he does it.
But the thing is this, that one aspect of transcendental consciousness is that opposing elements can be reconciled. Yeah, opposing elements can be reconciled. So therefore, you know, because the majority, and particularly for us, because Srila Prabhupada definitely says that he was aggressive. But, you know, Sanatana Goswami. So, certainly, the possibility exists that somewhere in the back of his mind, there's an element of something positive. And, in fact, as the pastime progresses a little further, Krishna dances on his heads. And then in the process of that, Kaliya's devotional mood it really starts to manifest, like fully, in a really, like as the dominating feature of his manifest consciousness. And he, although he's too weak to say anything, in his mind, he just prays, I'm yours, I'm yours, I'm yours. And therefore Krishna didn't kill him. Krishna killed all the other demons, but he didn't kill Kaliya. So yeah, so the possibility exists then that Kaliya was actually in a mixed type of consciousness where there were some elements of positiveness. Something like that. And Siddhanta Goswami chose to really focus on that.
I'm perfectly satisfied. You've saved me from... Thank you, Maharaj.
Great defense. Save me from...
No, I'm very good. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. See you, everyone.